All right, we have a runaway host here on The Drive. So I will be stepping in here quickly with Philip Lindsay. And we have something fun coming up, but in a very, very unique way. And there's only one man on the planet who can talk about opening day and what to expect, and his name is Zach.
Pretty good, KJ!
Oh, man.
Hey, man.
It was an entrance. You know, we knew that you were coming.
Pretty gay. That's working in radio and being a pro. Just figuring it out.
Look. Come on, man. He had to use the bathroom. He had some toilet paper stuck to his foot. All right. He's here.
I just mismanaged my time badly during that break. I apologize. Hey, if you want the Rockies to be good one day, do you want the Rockies to be good one day?
I want them to be great, man. I'm ready to get that feeling back.
All right. Baby steps here. Baby steps.
I can dream, can I?
Let's see if they can get their second win of the year here.
Oh, let's see if Chris Bryant can even get a hit.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm waiting for a home run from my man.
He got one of the warning track yesterday, which, you know, almost felt like a home run. It was like, wow, look at that thing go. Like, he's going to catch
it. Oh, he can do it.
Honestly, it would have been gone, too, had the wind not been blowing in at Wrigley.
It was. Like,
he hit pretty dang well.
He did. It was clearly to the warning track, and it was blowing in on, like, a summer day, hot summer day. That is a home run.
So it was 100-degree heat, nice, hot, perfect temperature. Yeah, are we talking about Jerry Jeudy here?
Right there you like, go. What? There you go. Well done. Seriously.
Yeah.
And Drew, get ready to get tagged into this segment here in just a second, because I want to reference your knowledge on a subject that is you can make an analogy that it's kind of congruent to what we're going through here in Denver. So the Rockies lost yesterday 5-0. It's a joke. I mean, we know that. After just five games, Phil, they're already alone in last place at the NL West. Didn't take long. They're 1-4.
Lone survivor.
Every other team has at least won two games. Okay, that's just the way it is right now. 70-year-old Dick Monfort is not going to sell the team. Okay, so like, I've heard people say that, sell the team. Only one guy gets to decide that. That's the owner.
Yeah.
He's not selling the team. But, he will pass it down to one of his sons. And there's two candidates. There's his eldest son, Walker, who right now is the vice president of corporate partnerships, as I understand it. His younger son is Sterling, who is director of pro scouts. So both of them have prominent roles within the organization. And someone could say, yeah, that's part of the problem, that you're employing your sons. There are major roles, and I get all that. There's potential criticism there, too. And it's from an organization that's only been promoting internally.
Within themselves.
That's it. That's all they've done. What I'm thinking here is, it's like, I'm thinking last night of like, how, like, when is the end in sight? And maybe they'll hit some green lights and some of these guys will work out and we'll be singing a different tune here in a month or something, or even looking ahead to next year. But I think the hope for me is that he's going to pass this team down to one of his sons. And despite them being family, father, son, one of those sons, and it's probably going to be Walker, the eldest son. As I understand it, he's the one that's being groomed to take over.
Yeah.
Just because you're father and son doesn't mean you see things the right way. And I think that you look at Dick Monfort's age, he's now in his 70s, and it's like this transition could be happening at some point in the near future. And I think my thought is the best way to get this operation out of the depths of where it's at is new leadership, and it might be one of these boys who just see things so much differently than their dads, as oftentimes sons and dads have differing perspectives.
Yeah, so it's like new leadership, new blood, same bloodline.
Yeah. And you can point to other examples in sports, and the one that sticks out for me is the Chicago Blackhawks. And I know the Blackhawks have fallen on hard times here recently. They ended up with the number one pick. They grabbed the baby face Connor Bedard. But that wasn't before they put together a dynasty.
Yeah.
Drew, snapshot reset of the last 50-year history with the Blackhawks.
Yeah, so there was the former owner, Bill Wirtz, who was basically known as, I think it was Dollar Bill, because he was so frugal that back in the 90s, he decided to, unless the Blackhawks games were covered nationally, or let's say they were televised nationally, he pulled them off TV in order to get more fans to come to the games. Well, the fans didn't want to come to the games because they were terrible at that point. Like in the late 90s, after they had a nice little run in the early 90s, they became such a bad franchise that the fans didn't want to go to the games anymore. Everything was just a disaster. So he was blacking out the games on local television on purpose in order to get fans to come to the games. Fans didn't want to do it. So move along to, I think it was 2007, Bill Wirtz passes away. His son Rocky ends up taking over. 3 years later, the Blackhawks won a Stanley Cup. So just in that quick little time frame, a complete change of, you know, mindset within the organization between father and son.
Yep.
Rocky comes in and the Cubs and the Hawks end up winning a Stanley Cup in 3 years after Bill Wirtz passed away and the franchise changed hands at that point. So it gives you hope at least that, hey, just a different mindset.
Yes.
You know, thinking a different way from your father can give you hope that, hey, maybe there's something in this organization that can change.
Yes, and I think that's a good, relatively recent example of an organization that was in the dumps and had a change within family ownership and completely turned a franchise around that you could make an argument in the last 15 years, the Chicago Blackhawks have been the most successful. I mean, I think they won three cups.
Three cups in six years.
I mean, that's just, it's incredible. And not really we're talking about Rockies winning a World Series, but I don't know, man. I'm sure you and your dad agree on a lot of stuff, and you may see some stuff very differently.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's funny because my wife always feels like I agree too much with my father at times.
Okay.
And I just think it's because we think the same. And so that's kind of what I worry about at times is how much similar are you guys? Are you guys too similar? Because they're working. They're still all in there. They're still all talking, right?
Yep, yep.
Dick Monfort, his sons, all have a piece, you know, their hand in this pie. I just want to know when Dick Monfort decides to sell to his kids or hand it down to his kids.
Yeah.
Are they going to have that sense of saying, you know what, Dad, this is what I've been thinking this whole time. I'm going to have to go against you. I know you're going to be angry, but this is what needs to be done. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, and that thing may be not like we're changing everything about the franchise, but it's like, hey, Dad, I am going to bring in an outside voice.
Yeah, they need it.
I am going to hire this bright mind that found a way to win in Tampa or fill in the blank. And we're going to hire the assistant general manager from, you know, I'll just say Tampa again because it feels like a relative comp of a small. See, the Rockies aren't, it's a small market. They're not small market like Tampa.
No, they're like a medium.
Yeah, they're like a medium.
Mid-market team.
But how have the Rays been able to be successful? It's like they have pushed the right buttons. They have acknowledged their own limitations and found ways to thrive because they're not the Dodgers. They're not the Mets. And
it's about picking the right people for the job upstairs and picking the right players to go with it. And we just have not done a great job of picking the right players. Dick Monfort has put some money into players.
Yes, he has.
The wrong players.
Right.
Can his sons do the opposite? Can the sons put the money in the right players without having to give up a bunch of money that they don't have?
Yeah. And I just, I haven't heard this mentioned, this potential transition. And maybe the guy holds on to the team for another 10 years and he's in his 80s running it. But now that he's in his 70s, it's like, when is this transition going to happen? And
I just want to know, like, when he looks himself in the mirror right now, and I know he cares about what he has going on here. I know he cares about it. But, like, do you truly care enough about it to understand that you need help?
Right.
Like, looking in the mirror saying, I need some help?
Right.
That's what has to happen.
Right. All right. This Friday, it's opening day. All right. And we are doing it in style. Join us live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver. I'm talking right across the street from Coors Field. Stoke and Josh will walk you up to the first pitch, and then we're going to be rocking out from 2 to 6 right across the street from the game. If you have tickets, make sure to come say hello beforehand. If you don't have tickets, come hang out with us. They'll have the game on. The vibes will be incredible. It's going to be a beautiful day. So come say hello to myself and Philip Lindsay this Friday. El Patio Denver rooftop right across the street from Coors Field. All right. Did we as sports fans just see a once-in-a-lifetime intersection that we'll be talking about for decades to come? Maybe. And we'll talk about it coming up next. Whoa, whoa, get out the way.
the way, get out the way, yeah.
Did we as sports fans see a once-in-a-lifetime intersection that we'll be talking about for decades to come? How about last night? Iowa and LSU, a rematch of the national championship. Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. And by the way, we have the television numbers. We just got them. Now, we actually don't know what they are. The guys behind the glass told us during the break that they now have them. We haven't looked it up. So we're going to guess on how many millions of people watched that game last night. We know their national championship game from a year ago drew 9.9 million viewers,
yeah,
which is the most watched women's college basketball game of all time, but it was also the most watched college basketball game of all time, or men or women, of all time on ESPN. So it was a huge number, 9.9 million. And I asked you earlier in the show, I'm like, do you think it got passed? Now, you play in the national championship, you're playing on the weekend, and you're playing on network TV. This was on a Monday night on ESPN. So you're at a disadvantage. And the question is, how many millions of people watched? So we're going to give our guesses, and then behind the glass, they're going to tell us what the answer is.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Are you going to complain if you go first? Are you going to complain? Because you usually say that I'm trying to take your number.
Yeah, usually copy my answer.
You want to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
All right. Well, man, even though there was not a lot going on here in the state of Colorado, there were still games going on throughout the states, correct?
Yeah, basketball, NBA, and Major League Baseball.
Yeah, so we have to take that in consideration, because I was just thinking, like, there was nothing going on. There was nothing for us.
Yeah.
Not for everybody else watching these games. It was a Monday night. It was during, some people are still getting off of work.
Sure.
So,
especially on the West Coast, especially, yeah, you know, we're here Mountain Time, so we're 2 hours behind. They're 3 hours behind,
yes,
East Coast start time, so that's a good note.
You know, look at you trying to take my note. I should put this in my head.
No, because it started 4 o'clock in California.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to say they didn't quite make 10 million. I think that they stopped at 9.3 million viewers.
All right, I like it.
9.3.
Oh, I have no idea what the number is, but I'm going to go just because the awareness factor 1 year later is so much higher. Like, I'll raise my hand. This time last year, it wasn't really until CU and Iowa locked horns in the Sweet 16. So yeah. I was like, oh, this Caitlin Clark, like, you know, and maybe I was late to the party. Maybe to someone else I was early. I don't know. It just depends on who you are. But this year, everyone knew about this Caitlin Clark story. LSU won the national championship. Angel Reese's profile has only exploded since then.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of major things with stakes around the country, despite there being games, NBA, Major League Baseball. I'm going to say this thing is the most watched women's game of all time. I'm going to say it did 10.8 million viewers.
10.8?
Yeah. What do we got as our answer here?
Oh, all right, helps if you turn the mic on. All right, so this number is going to blow both of you away because neither one of you are even close. And for context, this outdrew every NBA game last season except for Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
Oh, my God.
It outdrew every college football game last season outside of the college football playoff, Ohio State, Michigan, and the SEC championship.
Oh, my God.
And obviously outdrew every MLB game last season. The final number, 12.3 million people.
Wow. Wow. So it's
on a Monday.
On a Monday night.
On cable.
Yeah.
So it surpassed its own mark of LSU Iowa a year ago by 20%, by over 20%.
Yeah.
I mean, that is,
well, thanks to two women.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Kim Mulkey, her stuff doesn't hurt. And you have just the awareness. And this is what the men's game is lacking. Like rematch stuff. Mm. Like, oh, remember when these two guys went ahead? It just doesn't happen like that anymore.
Well, keep this in mind too, guys. So Purdue-Tennessee, a pretty high-profile matchup on Sunday in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
10.4 million.
Wow.
So this was more than that even.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Everybody wants the drama. You know, you truly, like, as an athlete, you're playing this game, but also it's a movie. Everybody's watching this movie. They want to see some colorful stuff with it. They want to see some activity go on, whether it's good, bad, whatever. Whatever the case is, dramatic, right? That's what they want to see.
I think this for the women's game, and this number validates what I said in the first hour of the show.
Yeah.
I think this rivalry is Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird for women's college basketball. Because once upon a time, that was just like, you had to watch. And think about this. In the late 1970s, 40 million people watched the national championship between Magic and Bird. Indiana State was undefeated coming in, and Michigan State came in, and they beat Larry Bird. Yeah. And it was just like, and then they went into the NBA, and they kept on being rivals. What this has done for college basketball on the women's side, I just don't think you can quantify it. And I think from years from now, we'll be talking about this era where women's sports were exploding, women's college basketball in particular, and this rivalry made someone like me, who doesn't watch a lot of women's sports, Phil, we pushed bedtime back last night. Mm. We as a family, we have not watched a sporting event since the football season.
Okay.
And our whole family was in the living room watching that game last night.
This is amazing, man. This is crazy. Angel Reese is going to have to go to the NBA then if they're going to make this a Larry Bird.
She might struggle in the NBA.
Okay.
Going against the men. But if she goes to the WNBA.
No, WNBA. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I'm like, yo, what?
I'm just kidding. I have to jump on that.
she might need to go to the NBA.
She's undersized and she's going to struggle there. WNBA is where she should go.
Oh, man.
You think she's going to go? Because she's got to decide pretty quickly here.
Yeah, she does. Tuesday, right? Right, KJ?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah, so yeah, I think she does. I think that they want this. She's going to get paid a lot of money no matter what. Not from the WNBA, but also for what she does off the court.
Yes.
So yeah, I think she's going to go.
I think so too. Wow. Did you see she came out with the crown?
Yeah, I did.
And she put it on her seat. Did you guys see that? Put it right on her seat as Caitlin Clark was warming up. Oh, doctor.
Like that's what you want, though, right? That's what you want to see.
Hey.
Some people don't like it, but, like, everybody's interested in it.
Yes. Well, you want to know what?
What made rivalries so good, right? It's the hate. It's the excitement, all right? The Colorado Avalanche and the Red Wings, right?
Yeah.
It was the hate. It was like, what were you going to see? You knew you were going to see a fight.
All right. Let me ask you this. Is Angel Reese specifically trying to have her cake and eat it too?
Mm.
And I want to explain coming up next. All right, so I'm going to have this an offshoot conversation to the basketball game last night.
Yeah.
The basketball game last night, and the fact that, like, I'm talking about, like, the basketball game, the one big basketball game, and we're talking about women's basketball, I can't believe that we're even having this conversation.
Yeah.
But we just got the numbers in the last segment. It's the most watched women's college basketball game of all time by millions, and it's passing the time that they played last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we've quite literally never seen anything like this. And by the way, the game that came after was USC versus UConn. You know how many people watched that? Did you say 6.7 million people? That's almost twice as the most watched NBA game last year.
Mm.
It's just, what we're watching is, it's insane.
Women's sports on the map.
Paige,
whether people like it or not, it's right there in front of our faces.
For UConn, Paige Beckers, and for USC, Juju Watkins. She's just a freshman, right? She's
gonna be our next star.
She's incredible. I mean, she's incredible. I heard that she couldn't even play when she was growing up. She wouldn't even play with her a middle school team.
I can see it.
It's just like, it's not even fair. She'll literally go out there and score 100 points, literally. So what we're watching right now is insane. But the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Iowa, LSU dynamic,
yeah,
like, it's fascinating. And when it comes to Angel Reese, I just want to bounce it off of you. Do you think that she's trying to have her cake and eat it too, in this sense?
Mm.
Where after the game, she's like, you know, I'm hated on.
Yeah.
I've been sexualized. I'm a human. And as she's up there crying at the podium. And obviously, I don't want to hold crying against her because she just lost a big game. It might be the last game she ever plays. But this is someone who, when she's winning, is in the opponent's face. You can't see me. It's pointing to the ring. It's bringing a crown out on the court. I've never seen that before. She brought a crown out on the court for pregame and puts it on the bench right when Caitlin Clark is warming up. And then when stuff goes sideways, it's kind of like, I'm actually a victim. What do you make? Because I'm watching that after the game and I'm like, damn, I don't know. You were like front and center when everything was going good. And now things are, you lost and it sounded like she was a victim a bit.
Yeah, no, look, right? This is what makes sports great, right? We need this drama. This is what's missing in a lot of these sports right now with the men's side of it. The drama's not there anymore.
Mm.
Hockey, there's not enough fights anymore. With the basketball, there's no rivalry. Where's the rivalry at? Football, you pretty much playing two-hand touch now. There's nothing going on in football. Now you turn into the women's side where everything is new and it's rivalries and it's fights, and it's like, man, this is what we want to see. For Angel Reese, I think what she's trying to get at, and this is for me, it's like she has to play this card now because of what she has done as being this villain, because that's what everybody is looking at her as, is, oh, because she's out there, because of how she treats things, she has to be the bad person. And I think for her at times, it's like, now I have to play this card. I play this villain role because this is what they've pit me as.
And so I'm going to embrace it?
Yeah, embrace it. Draymond Green,
yeah,
embrace the role. Right? Dennis Rodman, embrace the role. Whatever the case may be. If you call me a bad guy, then that's just who I'm going to be.
Sure.
If you call Phillip Lindsay a bad guy, then that's what I'm going to be. Because that's what you're pinning me as.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I'm a bad guy.
Sure, right.
You're just looking at me like that. And so I think that what she's trying to say is, off of this, out of this basketball competition, out of what's going on, there's a lot of stuff going on where people are kind of putting her as this bad person, even off the court, and that's where she's kind of feeling like, I'm being victimized because of what we do on the basketball court.
Yeah. It's interesting. It really is. It to think that it was just basketball, just shot making and rebounding that led to almost 13 million people watching that game last night, I think you're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It is the personalities. And you know, I also think, just to be honest, I think that, and I'm struggling to say it the right way, but I just want to say, I think what a lot of people are thinking, there is a race dynamic involved. When you look at LSU and you look at Iowa, who these two teams are, it's uncomfortable to talk about, and it's so divisive now, but I think that when you look at Iowa and there's four of the five starters are white, and you look at LSU and four of the five starters are black, and you have these two ultimate personalities that kind of represent each party, and
for
Caitlin
sure.
Clark and Angel Reese, it creates this like this underbelly that no one really talks about.
Well, they don't want to talk about it because it makes everybody uncomfortable, Zach. But the truth is out there. It's the truth, right? You just said it right there. Four of the five starters for LSU are black women. Four of the five starters for Iowa are white women.
Right.
All right? And now you start to kind of get a situation where it's like, LSU has to be the villain. Why? Why is LSU having to be this villain? Because they're out there, because of how they do things, they're a little bit different than how Iowa does things, where it's more quiet and it's more of a, we're just going to play basketball. That's how people wanted to portray it as, right? When at the end of the day, it's two teams that on this basketball court are going at it. Now, in other people's view, some people look at it as still black or white, Zach.
Sure.
That's the reality of it.
Right.
That's the sad part about it. We're not looking at it as women's sport. We're looking at it as white women and black women, and who do you want to root for? That's the sad part about things right now still, and it's sad to say that.
And obviously this is all, we're kind of casting a wide net, and everyone's different in how
for sure.
they view it. But I do think that is an undercurrent of why this game, it almost was like a TV show.
Mm.
It felt like felt a little bit more than a basketball game, and it resulted in the most viewed game of all time.
Yes. Yes.
So, look, I think we're all better for this.
We need it.
I really do.
We need more excitement, man. That's what I'm telling you. That's what the men are missing. I was talking to Drew the other day about the hockey. And Drew, Miles Wood, right?
Yeah.
Miles Wood.
Yeah.
He wanted to drop the gloves. One of his boys just got, it was Ross Colton.
Yeah. They got knocked. Just the other night.
Yeah. He wanted to drop the gloves and let's go.
Yeah.
The other player, who was it that you remember, Drew?
I think it was Jeremy Lazan, something like that.
He was running from the smoke.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that means, he was running from the fight.
Yeah.
You tell me back in the day, right? Back in the day when hockey was hot and it was all about fights. Is any of them running from the smoke when the Red Wings were playing the Colorado Avalanche?
No.
Was anybody going to run from that? Because you knew when you got in that locker room, you're going to have to explain to everybody why you ran from that fight.
Yeah.
They don't do it no more in hockey. In basketball, you don't have those rivalries. Everything's just all, let's just play basketball. And in football, like I've said, there's no rivalries anymore.
No, not really.
No.
Not the way it used to be.
There's no Raiders versus the Broncos. I hate you so much.
This was a rivalry.
This
was a true rivalry.
First time we've seen it in a long time.
First time that I've personally seen it, especially on the women's sports side, and I found it fascinating. And
I loved it.
I'll say this. I wasn't sure. I said to my wife after the game when they went through the handshake lines, I said, I hope everything's okay. Because this has been over a year building up, especially between specifically Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And I'm glad that at the end of the day, they came together as respected competitors.
Yeah, it's respect. At the end of the day, it is all about respect. Knowing that this is just a game, and I respect your game, but when we're on that court, I don't like you. But that doesn't mean I don't like you as a person because you don't do anything for me not to like you. But on this court, I have to be the best player, and I don't like you.
Yeah. Who are you rooting for?
Oh, man. I wanted Angel Reese, and I wanted Angel Reese and the LSU women to beat up on Iowa. I'm not going to lie.
I wanted Caitlin Clark and Iowa.
Look at you.
Look at this guy. I wanted redemption.
Look at this guy. He's like, come on, Caitlin. I was like, let's go, Angel.
That is amazing. All right.
Get your damn ass together.
Zach.
Hey, you want to know what? Good conversation.
Yeah, it was.
And it's just like, I like the ability to have it.
Yeah.
Because most people don't have
it. You got to have it.
All right. The Nuggets have 7 games left in the season. That is too funny. The Nuggets have 7 games left in the season, and they're still not healthy. Is the spectrum of possible outcomes in the playoffs wider than we'd like to admit? I want to go there. Coming up next. All right, good conversation about the game last night and all the dynamics. I got to share one more stat before we move on. I got to share one more stat. This is wild, man. This is wild, what I'm about to share. The lowest ticket price for the women's Final Four in Cleveland is $343 for the worst seat in the house, Phil.
The worst seat is $300.
It's almost 50% higher than the men's Final Four.
Uh-oh.
It's just, we're not making this up. We're passing along the facts of, the viewership and the ticket prices. It is just wild. I never even stopped to think about it in my lifetime if we'd ever see something like this, and it's just happening organically.
Well, have we maxed out with the men's sports, Zach? Have we maxed out? NBA, that's why they're going worldwide, right?
Yeah, they're starting to go overseas football. But I think that I don't think it's maxed out because if the men's side had something like Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark, rematch history.
But tell me this, will we ever have something like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in the NBA?
Never's a long time. I don't know. I don't see it happening right now. I don't.
Is it just a dynamic? I don't see it ever happening again because I don't see the passion like we did with the Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, like we did back in the day with Larry Bird and
Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
Yeah, and in every sport having their so-called villains and whatever the case may be. Like I don't.
Abs
see
Red Wings
that.
You
the
mentioned
Abs,
before.
Wings, like,
Broncos Raiders, where people are just going crazy on each other.
I don't see the passion like that back in the day where I'm playing this game because I love it and I love my teammates and it's organically just something that we do together. Yeah. It's a team. And you said something before. You said when people break it down and say family, you don't like that word.
I do not.
Back in the day, that's what it was about, yes. Right? It was about family because we're going to all be together for a while.
Yeah.
And now it isn't about family.
No, especially the NBA. It's such a buddy-buddy league.
Yeah.
Half these guys share agents. They team up in the off seasons.
That's the NFL for you. Zach, majority of the people playing in the NFL right now, truly, a lot of them don't deserve to continue to be playing, but because they know somebody or their agents know somebody, that's why they have a spot on the roster. It's just different.
Yeah, it is. And the times are just different. It's just different. The one thing I want to say, too, is, and I didn't mention this because I said, hey, you know, I asked the question, hey, is Angel Reese trying to have her cake and eat it too?
Yeah.
Acts a certain way when she's winning. And then it seemed like was going down the victim route for a second when she lost. She did, and no one's bringing this to my attention. This is just me remembering it because I don't want to even look at the RamosLaw.com.
Hey, like, get him off here.
Is that she did mention that she was getting, like, she got death threats before.
Yeah.
That's just totally unacceptable. But I'd be willing to bet that she got those death threats on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Not out in real life. Not as you walk down the street. It's like social media.
Well, and tell me, Zach, you know, people talk about us all the time.
They do. They do.
But when they see you walking down the street with your little kids or you at the Az game, has anybody ever came up to you and said, and although they don't understand how tall you are and how skinny you are, they see that little boulder on one of your arms. They're like, uh-oh, here's Zach Pye.
No.
I think people just kind of like.
Yeah, no, I've had people who maybe express some things that they didn't like or they didn't like a decision that was made, but I never heard but on the text line, hey, I got screenshots over the years. And I keep a little notepad of
receipts?
Them. I do. From the first year that I moved here, where people were literally telling me to kill myself.
Mm.
Literally. Calling me names that I'd get fined if I said on the radio. And or tell me what they want to do with, it was like really weird and wild stuff. And like, I remember earlier this year, remember when Kareem Jackson got suspended and he posted some of the stuff that he was seeing?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I'll give you this attention that you deserve. This is what I see.
Yeah.
I looked at that and I was like, I didn't even bat an eye. I'm like, dude, I get worse than this.
Yeah.
On Twitter and on the text line. But I don't really get it out in real life. And I think a part of the blowback that Angel Reese is getting, you know what it is? She's a star.
Yeah.
Fame. The downside of being as famous as she has become comes with sometimes like toxic people out there online. And now everyone's got a keyboard, everyone's got a microphone, and they can say whatever they want to you.
Yeah, without anybody, so quote unquote, figuring out who they are.
Yeah.
But little do they know, I know who majority of them are. Because I got a little inside source. I can know where they are. I know where they stay.
Oh.
I can be like, oh, Mr. So-and-so. 229-226, huh? Okay, I'll see your light.
We'll see what's next with this chapter, and maybe they go on to the WNBA, those two, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and do battle for years to come. If you're the commissioner of that league, you are hoping
that
is the case.
Yes, you're building this up. You have an opportunity right here to take off for the WNBA, to take off for the women's sports. Right in front of your face.
Yep.
You can't screw this up. You got to figure out a way to get Angel Reese to want to get into the WNBA.
Yeah.
All right? Because we don't know if she's going to take it or not. We know Caitlin Clark is.
Yeah.
But we don't know if Angel Reese is. But this is a time period where the women's sports can take over and have their time.
This is what I mentioned this analogy to you last week with the NBA was not in a good place back in the late 70s. Cocaine use was so rampant. It was unbelievable. Like stories like Michael Ray Richardson and these can't-miss stars become addicted to coke. It was a league-wide problem. And the games were, and I mentioned this to you last week, the NBA Finals were on tape delay.
Yeah.
You weren't watching the NBA Finals. Magic and Bird, 40 million people watch them play in the national championship. They both go to the NBA. They become their own stars. Next thing, they save that league.
Yeah.
WNBA, I don't personally know. Maybe KJ, do you watch the WNBA?
I do.
Okay, so KJ would be the person in my life that I know watches. I don't know too many others. That league can grow if these two take their game to the next level and become their own little thing. So, all right, didn't want to continue it this long, but we did, and it was organic, and it's fine. The Nuggets have 7 games left in their season. They're still not 100% healthy. We're still waiting for Jamal Murray to come back. They're back in action tonight versus the Spurs. We have not seen whether he's been ruled out or not. He's questionable.
Yeah.
Do you think Jamal plays tonight?
No, I do not. Jamal Murray will not play tonight. I think that there's a lot more going on in Jamal's with Jamal's body, whether it's the knee, and I think that's the bigger thing. It's the knee. You have the ankle. You have the shin splints. So if I were to guess, it's either going to be the ankle or mainly probably the knee, which it just kind of appeared out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, watch out for that, man. Whether it's just some swelling or irritation, whatever it is, I don't think he plays tonight.
Well, he hasn't played since March 21st in a game that was against the New York Knicks. That was 6 games ago. We're now into the month of April. There's just 7 games total left in the season, Phil.
Yeah.
And it's like now you're getting to a point, it's like, okay, is he 100% healthy or not? If he's not, then keep holding him out. But even when he does become 100% healthy, you're running out of runway to get that guy back into playoff shape. You just can't take weeks off during the year, and then the playoff intensity is about to get ratcheted up even more. It's like, is there enough time to do this balancing act of getting the proper rest, getting back to 100% healthy, but also not losing your stamina that you've built up over the last 6 months when everything's now on the line?
Yeah.
It's just, it's tricky right now. Unless he like comes back tonight at 100%, then that might be just enough time. But
well, do you think that he plays tonight? If you had to say yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But also, I've sat here with you thinking he's going to play the last 5 games in a row.
I mean, at some point, you got to hit, right?
Right. Right. He's going to play.
Okay.
And I literally said that to you on Friday. I'm like, Phil, they're all playing tonight.
Yeah.
Number one seed. And then it comes out an hour later, he's not playing. But
Well, this is the thing, Zach. I know that people are like, well, he needs some time to get acclimated back into the game. Look, he's in the NBA. He's done this before. As long as he shows up to the playoffs, I'll be happy.
All right.
We can get going later on.
Sure, sure. You know what? If that's where it ends up being, in order to preserve his health, and that's why he'd be missing, do what you have to do to preserve that health. That's the only thing, not the only thing, but it's the number one thing on the scale right now is getting this team healthy, heading into the playoffs. And it's everything after that is so secondary for me. You're going to be a top 3 seed. And let's see what shakes out. But we're going to get news here in the next probably 90 minutes, whether Jamal Murray is going to play tonight or not. So if we get that news while we're on the air, we'll pass it along immediately. But until then, questionable, and we'll see what shakes out. And then really, and not to get overly morbid, and I'm not like being negative for negative sake, if this team is not healthy in terms of the starters, whether it's Jamal, let's just keep it to Jamal because he's the one that's like front and center right now. If for some reason Jamal Murray couldn't play in the first round and they match up with a team like the Dallas Mavericks, which they absolutely could, they've won 7 in a row, 9 of their last 10. It is not a birthright because you are the champion to get out of the first round if you don't have your full complement of stars. Ask the Colorado Avalanche. It would have been unthinkable for them on the heels of a title when we were debating, is it a failure if they only win one, to not get out of the first round the next year? It would have seemed impossible. Tough matchup. Didn't have one of their stars, go home early. So it's like not.
And you've been saying this, though, Zach. You've said this probably from the start when the season started, and I asked you that. I said, no matter what, are the Denver Nuggets going to win again? And you said, if they lose one of their top starters, right, they won't win. So it's not like this is just new. You've put this out there and actually talked about it on air multiple times.
Yeah, they're not the team they were a year ago. You know, you've echoed this statement a couple times the last couple of days. They're like, Bruce Brown's not walking through that door.
You need that sixth man.
And they don't have it right now. Now, could they do it by committee? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll see what it looks like. But right now, they're not healthy. So they got to get healthy here with just 7 games. The playoffs start in 18 days. Not the play-in. The first round of the playoffs start in 18 days. Dude, buckle up.
I'm excited,
can't wait, man.
I'm excited.
Cannot wait.